Dale Stevens has been a regular contributor and he's an opinion shaper. Of course, he's had a lot of experience, a long time in the New Zealand police, military bands as well. He's a muso, but he's also been with New Zealand Trade and Enterprise, head of Māori Partnerships for a long time. He's no longer in that role, and he has headed New Zealand Māori Tourism, but now he's focused on a potential political career. So that sort of sets the stage, and you know, there's no secrets to his ambition, but we do rely at times on his experience in other sectors, which we utilise him as a commentator rather than as an employee. I think that makes some sense. G'day, Dale. Tēnā koe, thanks for joining us again. Kia ora, mate. Firstly, some dos to tourism and Māori tourism likewise. First, some thoughts down that track for a moment, please.
Yeah, so last week, 10 days ago now, we had the Trends Conference here in Christchurch, which was really great because it's the first one in 4 years, and this is a conference that brings together all of our tourism operators across the country where they wānanga and introduce buyers from offshore who are buying tourism packages to retail to travellers to New Zealand. Really great to see a lot of Māori operators in the house, as it were, to buy it. And talking to them during the time that they were there, they got some great sales. So while the tourism sector is slowly picking up here, the forward outlook has started to look really good because these are purchases that have been made for the next 9, 12, 24 months worth of tourism coming into the country. So to see that level of sales and see the opportunities coming for our Māori operators is really encouraging. And in fact, at the same time, we had the South Pacific Tourism event that really brought together all of the tourism operators across the South Pacific as well, because what we're trying to do is bring all the tourism sectors for our whānau for all the Pacific so that we can look at how we can encourage tourism from business people right across the Pacific region. And that was hugely beneficial in terms of that whole tua kamapaina principle, by helping each other out and getting results for all of our people right across the South Pacific.
Tēnā koe, New Zealand Trade and Enterprise now, and the potential to sign other arrangements. We know that Hipkins has just come back from PNG. India looms large as an emerging economy and is likely to be the third biggest economy in the world, if it isn't already. We've got a UK trade agreement with a Māori chapter that we've discussed before coming into effect in a few days, but the potential for more of these types of international trade deals is looming large. What do you make of how we might position ourselves, Māori, in business to take advantage of these opportunities, and what do you sense are some of the risks to them?
Yeah, great question. And we need to put it into context of, I think, 1999, the Singapore Free Trade Agreement was the first such agreement that was signed with New Zealand, including reference to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And that same, what they call then the treaty clause, has been inserted in about 11 or maybe 12 free trade agreements over the subsequent 20-odd years, to the state where we are at now, where the UK free trade agreement is quite a lot more comprehensive, putting Māori aspirations front and centre. And this is the really cool thing about international trade, that it brings an opportunity for Māori to get involved in a number of sectors and a number of markets globally. And when we look at things like new opportunities in India, we've got to remember that if we are too reliant on one particular market, that puts all of our whānau at risk. And so looking at India as another market opportunity, it gives all of our businesses the opportunity to really tailor their offerings to specific markets, but not rely on just one market, but to be able to spread that load to ensure a bit of, I guess, resilience in our export sector going forward. So I think India is going to be, it's got huge potential. It certainly won't be signed anytime soon because there's a lot to work through to get the thing underway properly. And for our Māori people, I think it's a huge opportunity because the type of products that Māori are responsible for and delivering to the world are really high quality and really respected because it's coming from the Indigenous people. And I think that adds an extra layer of integrity to trade negotiations that the world is now looking for. Indigenous trade is now really coming through to the fore globally.
Tēnā koe, just finally, with a focus on our Māori tourism operators, it appears that even domestic tourists or potential domestic tourists are steering away from the cyclone-hit regions, i.e. Tairawhiti, the Hawke's Bay, but others are saying, hey, it's tourism is what we desperately need. Some people are being polite. They'd suggest too, saying, oh, they don't need us wandering around while they're trying to clean up. But the reality is that they need people through the doors of their touristic experiences, all who work in the tourism sector, including Māori. What would you say of, yes, they've had troubled times, but they do need people to fuel their economies. How important is this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the situation with New Zealand is quite a unique one because I've always said it, and I'll keep saying it, there is no bad place in New Zealand. You know, everywhere in New Zealand, an overseas tourist can go, wow, this is incredible. Gee, the people are wonderful. I love the culture. We know that internationally, people are really seeking out those types of experiences that involve Indigenous peoples, excuse me, storytelling, history, innovation, all the kind of things that Māori are good for. And so when we look at what's happening post cyclones and post storms, absolutely we have to get our regions back up and running. There's a big picture that the government needs to take care of, and that's around infrastructure. And I'm not just talking about infrastructure getting the roads open, but actually creating opportunities to encourage more people into those regions, and while they're there, they can take opportunities to enjoy cultural experiences. You know, if I look at my special area, and that's the far north where I whakapapa to, we have a real issue up in the far north around accommodation. There isn't enough quality accommodation. Airport flights, public transport in and out of the area. But you can repeat that in so many different areas across the country. What I would say to our domestic tourism users, we need to keep you visiting our regions. We need to keep all of our regions up and running. And sure, we've got people dealing with the aftermath and the cleanup and rebuilding things. But I'm sure that visitors to the region who are coming and spending money and supporting those people will just strengthen that resolve to get it done even better and even faster. We have to look at the whole country. The main, you know, the main opportunities for all our people is built around having visitors and having money coming into those regions.
Thanks. And just finally, I hear you're off to Sydney next week. What's that trip about, Ewa?
Yeah, next week I'm doing a keynote address at an international tourism event out of Sydney. But the key thing that they're talking about is they're interested to know how our treaty, reconciliation is going. That's the term they're using because they're talking about, the reconciliation for Indigenous peoples in Australia. Well, I have to say, I was really disappointed. I was watching a video yesterday of an Australian court case where a, by all accounts, highly educated Australian lawyer was absolutely deriding and mocking the welcome to country. And he's saying how sick he is of being welcome to country all the time. To me, that signifies that even highly educated people haven't been reading and learning the right things about indigeneity and about, I guess, the history of our globe and the indigenous growth and development across the world. So one of the things I'm going to be focusing on next week is the journey that we all need to take to as indigenous peoples, as peoples in a society, how we have to move forward together, because, you know, we can't simply rely on the past. We can't simply rely on traditional legislation and laws and governments. We have to look at mixing the best of the past, the best of all of our people, and finding a way forward that is absolutely respectful of indigeneity, but actually creates a harmonious society. And what I saw from this Australian lawyer yesterday, that's the kind of thing we have to be very careful to avoid and educate these people properly.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thanks for your thoughts and all the best with the trip across the Tasman. I'll catch up with you again soon. Ngā mihi.
Hi, ngā manaakitanga ki a koutou.